people spend their lives chasing what they believe matters most. Every day, invest our time, energy, and resources into getting the things we want. When you achieve them, we feel happy. When things don't go the way we hoped, we feel frustration and stress. Our hearts are constantly driven, running after what we think will make our lives better and happier. Each of us has our own idea of what truly matters in life. What is yours? Let me put it another way. Where do you spend most of your time and energy each day? That is what you truly value most. One day, because of God's grace and love, we will see the Lord face to face. When your life draws to a close and you stand before Him, do you think those things will still be what is most important? If you are not sure, how can you find what truly matters in life? Perhaps it is things people treasure most in their final moments, the final moment they look back on with gratitude or wish they could have lived differently, that reveal what really matters. Many case studies and interviews in hospice settings across North America have explored what people reflect on as they approach the end of life. These studies involve conversations with the patients themselves or with the nurses and caregivers who work alongside them in those final days. When these studies ask patients what truly mattered to them at the very end, the answers all pointed in the same direction. They didn't talk about things people usually chase so hard. What they valued most was not their positions, recognition, or the things they owned. Many people expressed regrets about spending their lives working too much, not saying I love you often enough, or letting life's busyness keep them from living a meaningful life. They spoke about the people they loved, the people they hurt, and the people they wished they could have held closer. What mattered most were the relationships. In other words, when everything else fades, what remains is love, forgiveness, grace, and the people God has placed in their lives. If that is the case, then the things that matter most in the final moment of the life should also be what matters most to us today. We don't need to spend our lives in the same way people usually do and end up regretting it when it is too late. People who reached that point value the relationships most. They said, relationships matter most, and I regret spending my life chasing what the world usually does. In the Bible, we see that at the heart of God's design for life are relationships, including our relationship with our Creator, our relationship with others, and even our relationship with the world. When we live in the relationships God has designed for us, we bring Him glory and our lives are truly fulfilled, finding purpose and joy in the way it's intended. Isn't that what we truly want? This morning, we are concluding our sermon series, Experiencing God Together, by reflecting on what it means to be a community glorifying God in our relationships. The kingdom of God is the gathering of all people He has created and saved. Revelation chapter 7 gives us a glimpse of the heavenly church. In that picture, no one nation stands at the center. No one denomination takes the spotlight. And no single generation is the focus. At the center is God Himself, the one who created us all. As believers, each of us is called to grow toward the fullness of Christ. And as a community, we are called to grow more like that heavenly church we see in Revelation. We use the word mosaic community to describe the nature of the heavenly church in our vision statement. And we are journeying together in that direction. God wants us to be a community where people from every nation, generation, social class, and background can truly belong. We want people to meet God in their context He has given them, grow in faith, and serve God and one another together. How wonderful it would be if our community grew closer to the picture of the heavenly church. There are many beautiful aspects of the heavenly church, but at its heart, one of the most central is the complete loving relationships among God's people. We are far from it, but we are on the journey in that direction. The closer a community comes to the fully restored relationships God desires, the more beautiful it becomes, the more others will be able to see Christ through that community. This is what our vision is all about. But the reality is that sin creates all kinds of barriers. These worlds within us constantly get in the way of the relationships God wants us to pursue and can even lead us to give up on the relationship He desires for us. The Bible gives us a guidance on how to overcome these obstacles. And Romans 15 verses 1 through 7 shows us one way. Paul calls us to bear with one another, live in love, and build each other up. These actions break down barriers and help us grow into the community God intends. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insult of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement to give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice, you may glorify the God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another. Then just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Paul is pointing us to Christ-centered way of living. We are not to please ourselves. We stop making our comfort, our preferences, or our convenience to the center of the community. Instead, we choose what builds others up. It is a call to lay down our own rights when necessary for the spiritual good of the brothers and sisters beside us. We also should please our neighbors for their good. We choose actions that strengthen their faith, lift their spirit, and help them grow in Christ. It is about doing what genuinely benefits them, not what wins their praise. Paul clarifies the motivation. Christ himself did not live to protect his own comfort. He carried the weight of the sin and insult so that we could be lifted up. Paul calls the strong to use their strengths not to satisfy themselves, but to serve. The goal is the spiritual good of others. When we do this, the whole community becomes a place where the heart of Christ is visible. Your voice unite in praising God. But sin puts up walls in all kinds of ways in our hearts. Some people build walls with pride, thinking their way is the best and should be at the center. They believe they have it all together and assume their way will work best for others as well. They get upset when others do not join in what they're doing, even though what they're doing does not suit others. They expect others to think and act as they do, looking down on those who don't and blaming them. Even at home, this kind of attitude causes tensions. If you try it with your spouse or your children, you will see how quickly your relationship can become difficult. In fact, many families are experiencing broken relationships because of this attitude. If there is a relational tension in your family, you can check if you are trying to control your spouse or children, thinking you are doing it for their good. Here at our church, we have people from different cultures, generations, and social classes serve together. If we try to make others think and act like us, how much conflict would that create? They think they are pursuing unity, but in reality, they are causing division and interfering with God's plan for others. We are not called to make our spouse, our children, or others become like us. God invites all of us to come together around him as the heavenly church gathers. We are called to help others to grow into the people God wants them to be, not the people we want them to be. We can experience a real unity only when each of us is being transformed into the likeness of Christ. allow him to work in us and in them according to his divine plan. True unity in love happens when we are getting closer to Jesus, becoming more like him. Some worlds are built from fear or insecurity. We hesitate to trust others, hold back from loving fully, or shrink from committing ourselves to the community. Some worlds comes from resentment, anger, or past hurt, keeping us from forgiving and moving forward. Other comes from busyness, distractions, or selfish desires, leaving us to focus on ourselves, to invest in the lives of others. These barriers keep us from the relationships God desires for us and can even make us to give up on the love and unity he wants us to experience. The Bible teaches us to gather faithfully, to share the word, to walk through life together, and to share our joys and burdens as one family. We all know this. Yet the reality is that we don't see this lived out as often as we should. There are reasons for this. Some worries about their privacy, afraid that others will see their weaknesses or struggles. They feel it is not safe to share those parts of their lives. Others are concerned that their relationships with others might face challenges, possibly leading to conflict or awkward situations. For many, busyness of work and family life makes finding time to connect feel like a heavy burden. Those concerns make sense because sometimes they do happen. But let's think about this carefully. Would the Lord say, "Oh, I didn't know that could happen. You are right. You didn't need to meet." Of course not. He knows the possibilities. Yet he still calls us together to connect, to invest in one another. Take a closer look at the concerns we just named. Worrying about others seeing our personal struggles, discomfort over potential conflict, or feeling burdened by our busy schedules. All of these arise when we place ourselves at the center. But the moment we shift our focus from ourselves to the needs of others, to God's purpose working through us, those worries lose their grip. God's will and his work take the highest priority. It is like worrying about a car accident. If you never go outside, you won't have an accident. But then you can't go to work, run errands, study, or meet people. You'd miss out on everything life requires. In the same way, if we avoid the relationships because the worries that come from self-centered thinking, we might protect our privacy, avoid conflict, and save time. But we will also miss the work God has prepared for us and others, the blessings he wants to bring through community. You'll be fulfilling so much of what matters most, for eternity. You might think that's okay. I will still play safe. But God's perspective is different. He calls us together as a community to live together under his guidance and to trust him in the process. It's not about your wisdom, your power. It's God's power and his wisdom. Don't let fear of discomfort, inconvenience, or risk keep you from the life and relationship God intends. Choosing your own way over God's purpose is like refusing to leave the house to avoid accident. And in doing so, you lose the fullness of life he has for us, for you. As people struggle with fear and a self-centered mindset that keep them from stepping into the relationship, Jesus shows us another way. He didn't let fear, sinful barriers, or human divisions stop him from reaching out. Again and again, we see him crossing boundaries and stepping toward those whom others avoided and inviting them into the life of God's kingdom. Let's look at some of the examples from the Bible that show how Jesus overcame sinful barriers and welcomed people into God's presence. The Samaritan woman. Jesus stepped into a deep cultural divide between Jews and Samaritans. Most Jews wouldn't even talk to her. But he started a simple conversation at the well. He saw her, not her reputation. He spoke truth and offered hope. Her life changed. Through her, the village, the whole village was touched. Jesus crossed the cultural and relational boundaries with grace. Zacchaeus was a despised tax collector. He climbed the tree just to see Jesus, expecting nothing. But Jesus called him by name and went to his house. That encounter broke through shame and social rejection. Zacchaeus' heart was transformed toward justice and generosity. The lepers. Lepers were kept outside the community, excluded and isolated. Jesus didn't avoid them. He walked toward them, listened, and healed them, restoring their health, their dignity, and their family, and their place in the community. Jesus always steps toward those whom everyone else avoids. The Roman centurions. The Roman soldier representing oppression came to Jesus humbly for help. Many would have dismissed him, but Jesus listened, affirmed his faith, and healed his servant. He said, "I've never found anyone in Israel with such great faith," showing that God's grace is for all, even those we least expect. Children had no status or voice. Even the disciples tried to send them away. But Jesus welcomed them, blessed them, and said, "The kingdom belongs to such as these." Every person matters to God. And he lifts up those who have nothing to offer with love and joy. We see Jesus stepping across every human barrier, cultural barriers, social barriers, religious barriers, and emotional barriers. There was no wall too high for him, no boundaries too strong for him, no division too great for his love. As we follow him as his disciples, we began to cross those barriers too. We began to move toward people you might not naturally approach. We begin to open our hearts and homes. We begin to build a relationship where the grace of God can be seen. This is how we glorify God in the way we relate to people around us. This is how a community reflects the heart of Christ. Let's look at 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. You have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what you have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live up the truth. But if you walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. When we choose to walk in the light, it changes our hearts, the way we relate to others. A community that glorifies God is made up of people living in the light, willing to be honest, to confess, to forgive, and to seek reconciliation. When each of us opens our lives to God's truth, the walls of pride, fear, and isolation begin to fall. Step by step, as we live this out, our relationships are healed and restored. The community becomes a place where God's love is visible, where people experience acceptance and belonging, and where others can see Jesus in us. In this way, God grows us into a community that reflects the beauty of the heavenly church, a mosaic of people united in love, grace, and care for one another, all for his glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for showing us the way of love through Jesus Christ. Thank you that he crossed every barrier, reached out to the lost, and welcomed them into your presence. Lord, help us to follow him, to lay down our pride, fear, and self-centeredness, and to build relationships that honor you. Teach us to encourage one another, bear with one another, and live together in unity and grace. May our community, River Park Church, reflect the beauty of your heavenly church, united in love for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.